Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today as our listeners. We look forward to this broadcast to be able to communicate to you biblical truth and to challenge you to be involved in the study of the Word of God. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Let me remind you today, the telephone number that you can call to join in the dialogue and discussion is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your insight, your challenge, if you will, for anything that's said that you feel that we're off and that we need to stand corrected. Some questions that I want you to ponder today. We're going to be talking about what is the church. So I want to ask you several questions at the broadcast beginning that you can be pondering and jump in at any point in place and time during the course of this broadcast today with your question, your comment in relationship to the church. What is the church? What is the church? Some questions you might be pondering. Is the church essential? The government has deemed the church non-essential across America. Is your church open? If not, why not? If not now, when? Is it okay to be closed? Is it all right to close the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is COVID-19 found in the church more than in Walmarts? Is it possible that that pathogen called COVID-19 finds its dwelling place in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that really what's happening? Is that really the case? Is it truly factual, scientifically factual? Is it true that the church is more dangerous than Walmart's? Other questions you might consider. Should a crisis close the church? The pandemic called the coronavirus is a crisis, and it's based on that crisis that our churches were closed nationally. Most were, I should say. Is it possible that our Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, is it possible that needs to be modified, that says that the government cannot intervene in the church unless there's a crisis? Explain that to me. Can churches operate online today? Is it possible to have weddings and funerals and communion services online today? Is it possible that the church needs to refocus and think about closing all church buildings and simply go electronically online? Is that what we are saying that needs to be done? Why do some Christians criticize the opening of churches? Why do some people today castigate pastors and churches for opening? Why are these things happening? What's the bottom line? How should we respond? Those are just some questions I'd like for you to ponder as we do this broadcast today. They're worth asking, and I believe demands to be answered. So I pray that you'll do so. Love to have your dialogue and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, as we face the issues each and every day on this broadcast, the program is designed around a Q&A format where we can basically challenge you and you can respond. There are a lot of folks that are pent up with questions, theologically, doctrinally, and biblically, especially as pertains to the church. I'd love to hear those questions. those comments, the dialogue and the discussion in relationship to that. I think that it would be an interesting factor to consider today. What is the church? And as we do so, we go to the truth book. It's called the Bible. Jesus says to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, 31 and 32, that's what Jesus told his disciples. Notice there, continuing in my word, Jesus said, then if that is the case, you're disciples indeed. The word indeed means truly, genuinely, you're my disciples. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's staying in the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that is the truth book that sets us free. And then Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am truth. And then he reminds us in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. And so may I remind you, the best place to go when there's a question in relationship to what we see taking place in the world today, in the globe around us, in relationship especially to the church, is seek in the word of God. See what God's word says. It was George Orwell many years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I find that to be absolutely factual. I'm amazed at the number of people that, especially during this pandemic, that have been castigating, criticizing pastors and churches and spiritual people simply because of opening the churches or feeling that the churches ought not to be considered non-essential and closed. And yet we find those that are making some of those accusations and challenging, they're not familiar with the scripture at all. In fact, if you're one of those, I'd love to hear from you. On what basis do you make the determination that ascertaining your decision that the churches ought to be closed, and somehow if we don't close them, that we're just antithetical to truth, and it's just antithetical to loving the neighbor. It's just antithetical to anything that's called being concerned about someone else. I've heard all of the above. Love to hear from you. It's the 15th century church founder, or the church reformer and theologian, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said this, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And I believe that's a challenge that ought to be found in 21st century Christianity today. I believe that ought to be a challenge from the pulpits across America. The church, the Christians, will seek the truth, listen to the truth, and learn the truth, and love the truth. And that's not found on CNN. It's not found on MSNBC. It's not found on the fake media. It's not found by the from the men in white jackets that want to tell you that if you go outside, you're going to die. They want to tell you and have you to believe that if you take a mask off, somehow, some way, you're going to invite the COVID-19. Or if you go down to the beach, somehow, some way, the waves are going to splash coronavirus all over you, as has been some of the white-jacketed fallacies that have been spoken in the past four or five months. But it's the seeking the truth and listening to the truth and learning the truth, love the truth and tell the truth, live the truth. And I believe we need to, if no other people on the globe, as Christians, we ought to defend the truth even if we stand alone and even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time also carries the equipment for homeowners, brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with Honda generators. They have a full staff of knowledgeable people that can answer all of your questions about landscape equipment, power backup equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's a very valid question to ask today. What is the church? What is the church? Perhaps if we could say this, and let me just interject this, ladies and gentlemen, if there's any good thing that's come out of the that's surfaced and come out of the discussion about the coronavirus, if there's any good thing that's come out, if there's any good results that surface from that, it's the discussion about the church. Now, you might say, how is that so? Because, ladies and gentlemen, the church, the name, the word church, the talking about the church and whether the church should be open or not, what is the gospel and how should the gospel be delivered, whether churches should be closed or open, whether they're essential or non-essential, has been the topic that's on the front burner across America in particular in the past 5 months. And we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that and I'm not saying that all that's being said about the church is right, nor am I saying that much of the discussion about the biblical church is theologically correct. In fact, I have found, if I can say this, from a theological perspective, from a central biblicist perspective, I have found that the overwhelming majority of the diatribe that's coming out of the mouths of so many today, multitudes claim to be saved, coming out of the mouths of those that claim to be Christians, and even from some pastors, is not theologically, biblically correct at all. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the premise in the introduction, the beginning of the monologue. We need to go back to the truth book, the book called the Bible. It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of Holy God. And when it comes to what is said about the church, it ought to be on the basis of what does the Bible say about it. It ought not to be a discussion based on what I think or what I feel, what my philosophy may be, what my denomination might teach, what the dogma may be. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying at all that what is being said about the church is right, nor is much of that discussion about the church biblically or theologically correct. No. In fact, 10,000 times no. In fact, most of what we're hearing, most of what we're seeing today from most of the media and the discussion from the media merely indicates the complete ignorance. Hear me. When it comes to CNN and Don Lemon and the other sodomite anchor, Cooper, whatever his name is, I believe that we need to understand that they are not a source for source book or a source for truth in relationship to what the church happens to be. And yet many today, even as Christians and as pastors, base their decision on what the church ought to do and whether or not the church ought to remain closed even to this day comes out of those mouthpieces that hate God, reject Christ, reject the Word of God, anything that's called biblical purity or biblically theological soundness at all. Much of what we hear today, ladies and gentlemen, about whether or not the church ought to be closed or open and how the church ought to conduct its business is complete ignorance about the truth of the church today. Perhaps the leading problem in the media's hype and the discussion regarding the church is that the discussion in most cases comes from those who are lost. Those who are lost are simply ignorant. If they are saved at all, they're immature about the Word of God and what the Word of God says about the church. The basic questions about the church. What is the church? I'd love to hear from you. That telephone number is 831-0917. What do you perceive the church to be? From your theological persuasion, from your denominational bent, what is the church? Who makes up the church? How is the church to be carried out based on the authority of the Word of God? When was the church founded? Who founded the church? What is the fundamental foundation of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today? How do you come to your theological persuasion? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm asking all of those questions because they're pertinent to the discussion today about the question, what is the church? Multitudes have a misconception, misunderstanding, an erroneous idea, a philosophical rhetoric about the church that does not fit into the category of theological biblical truth. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, the church is not man's idea. Hear me. The church is not something that man just thought up and decided, let's get together and let's call ourselves the church. It's not man's idea. It's not man designed. It's not man created. It's God's idea. It's God's plan for man. It's God's originated purpose is for man to be able to worship God and that place called the church. That entity, that organism, that organization that's called the church is from God. God's the one that designed it. God's the one that planned it. God's the one that originated it, not man. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the church builder is recognized and recorded in the scripture. Its founder is none other than Jesus Christ. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 13 through 18, Jesus says, I will build my church. True, we have men that serve and that found churches and start churches, denominationally speaking. But the spiritual founder is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so we need to be very careful when we talk about how the church ought to be handled or what the government has the authority to do to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ when the church is founded by the Lord Jesus. He says, I will build my church. And that's in the text where Peter makes the profession of faith. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said upon Peter, upon your confession of faith, upon what you've said, that profession of faith, that thesis for the church, I'm going to build my church. Ladies and gentlemen, the church is God's plan, God's organization, and God's organism. And secondly, ladies and gentlemen, the church is made up of only those who are saved. Unfortunately, today we have denominations that, in order to fill the pews and have the numbers, nickels, and noses, unfortunately, we have those that will accept anything. In fact, in the UK today, most of the churches have two church roles, two church memberships, those that are born again, those that want to serve the Lord, and those that want a place for exercise, those that want a place for, recreation. And so the churches have built great edifices with all of those things in them. And in fact, some of the churches in the UK today are renting out space at night so that you can put your little bedroll and have a place to sleep for the homeless. They're renting it out $1 a night, $2 a night, $20 a week or whatever in order to make up funds to pay for the overhead for the brick and mortar that's no longer affordable because the church in the UK has simply dwindled to almost nothing. In fact, minuscule number even claim to be saved in the total of the UK today. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the question, what is the church? The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Need to hear from you. What do you believe about the church? Is it reasonable to have the churches closed on an indefinite basis? Should the churches ever have been closed in America because of the crisis that we supposedly faced with? The church is made up of only those that are blood-bought, born again, Bible-saved. They're those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. The church is made up of those that have said, Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I'm on my way to a devil's hell. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me. That's biblical salvation. And it's the organism that's made up universally of those that have said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. But not just from the standpoint of the organism, but there is the organization that is called the church, and it's not just made up of the building where we meet, though that is vital, that is important. It is not secondary, it's not tertiary to what we talk about with the church. It is a vital, important link to bring the family of God together. It is the location in which the organism called the church meets, and it's the place that's called the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you differentiate on the basis saying, well, as I've heard some nitwits, unlearned, ignorant, so-called Christians say, well, you know, we can just meet online. I can sit down at home on my couch and have church, and I don't need to have a church to go to. And after all, the first century church didn't have a church to go to. No, they used their homes. Listen very carefully. Acts chapter 2, the birth of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would meet in their homes, and it was the home church. That was the edifice they had to meet in. That was the place that they had to meet in. That was called the church house of that day. True, in more modern society, the past several hundred years, we built churches. Some have gone way out with ginormous, as I would call them, edifices that are absolutely too extravagant to be called a place of worship. But nevertheless, that's their business and not mine. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand what the church is and what the church is not. And then later in this broadcast, we want to look at, ladies and gentlemen, is it legal for the churches to be closed? is it right for preachers and for Christians to say, okay, Mr. Government, tell us when we can open, when we can go back to having church? Are churches considered essential? Are churches non-essential? We've been treated as the, as I call it, the red-headed, freckle-faced, snaggle-tooth stepchild in society today. We've been treated as non-essential. Churches have been viewed as something you can just kick to the curb and do without. Churches have been viewed as those things that are bothersome to the governors and the mayors across America that want to absolutely shut down anything that's called the gospel of Jesus Christ going forth. What is the church? I'm looking at a theological article. By the way, I've had the privilege for the past 30-35 years minimum teaching ecclesiology in the Bible college and the seminary. And I've dealt with this subject hundreds and hundreds of times. We need to understand what the church is. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question and comment, please. We lost our caller. Call back if you get a moment. Love to hear from you. Here's an article that says, the preposition ek or X-E-X in ecclesia suggests a particular dimension to the meaning of the word. The church is an assembly of the people called out of the world. Ek means out, ek from. Ekklesia is the Greek word for the church. And ek means the called out. So the people of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that are saved, are literally the called out ones. The church comprises those who are called to be saints. That's holy one. Probably, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize what is the church and what the church is not. The church is not just a little footstool that the government can use and kick it aside. It's not the governor's or the mayor's responsibility or authority to say the church is non-essential. I believe we have a caller on the line. Give you the question and comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood, this is Mike. I'm one of your students, and I've been listening to you on the radio, and one of the things that I don't really agree with the online streaming is that people don't think about is with the sodomite movement going to the Supreme Court and saying their sexual orientation is a civil right. Everything you say on live streaming is documentation. So once they deem what a pastor says is hate speech, they have all that live streaming evidence, and the government can use it to go church to church and arrest the pastors.
I believe you're exactly right, and I'm concerned about that, and I've spoken about that on several occasions. What our caller is saying, ladies and gentlemen, is, if we move ministry, church services, to online, and any preaching or teaching that will be contrary to what the LGBTQ leadership and the LGBTQ agenda in America would be, and or any other issues that the government doesn't like, then it is proof positive in the messages online that would be utilized as the tool, the weapon, to close the churches. In fact, for our listeners' edification, Mike, I believe they... Jeff, I believe they need to understand that in Canada, a pastor cannot get on radio or television and preach or teach anything from Romans chapter 1, especially verse 22, 24 through 32, dealing with the sodomites and what God has done and how God has turned them over to reprobate mind. It is considered to be illegal in the nation of Canada to do so. And all it would take, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully to what our caller is saying. All it takes is simply saying, let's transfer everything to online, and the government can use that as a rationale, whether it is biblical or not, to close the churches because it would not comply or comport with what the government calls that which should be done. It would be considered hate speech. You're exactly right. Thank you so much for that input and that insight that I believe our listeners need to understand today in relationship to the church and what the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is. The English word church is from the Greek word, as I just touched on a moment ago, ekklesia. And it appears, by the way, in the New Testament 114 times. The word ekklesia, church, 114 times. So the vital question today is the church essential, or should we view the church as non-essential? In fact, ladies and gentlemen, during the course of the time that our churches have been closed across America, and during the course of the time that there seems to be no need for the church, suicide, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, domestic violence, et cetera, it's gone up exponentially. In fact, somewhere between 75,000 and 100,000. Listen to me very carefully, and I've read several articles on the subject. It ranges between 75,000 to 100,000, some of those that are keeping the stats on the subject. Between 75 and 100,000 suicides are deaths as a result of being shut down, shut up, locked up, and the church is locked down and closed up. Here's an article that says more people are taking drugs for anxiety and insomnia, and doctors are becoming worried. As coronavirus health concerns, social isolation and joblessness and the stress thereof is taking a toll, people turn to medications. It can be very quickly become a habit. Prescriptions for anti-anxiety medications and sleep aids have risen during the pandemic, promoting doctors to warn about the possibility of long-term addictions and drug abuse. Many people to develop a dependency on these medications, the doctors say. Prescriptions for anxiety medications rose 10.2% in the U.S. to 9.7 million March of 2020, up from 8.8 million in March of 2019. Prescriptions for antidepressants, including Prozac and others, rose 9.2% to 29.7 million, up from 27 million the same period of time last year. Quote, if you've lost your job, if you're worried, if you have enough food for your kids, that will keep you up all night. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a massive article dealing with what has happened in America as a result of the shutdown, the lockdown, not just of businesses, but also of churches. Think, ladies and gentlemen, how many of these churches that are closed have been closed that someone was desperate for counseling, desperate for consideration, desperate for someone to come in and sit with them, desperate to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ that will give hope and help and healing and encouragement and counsel and comfort. And the days that have passed that have lost their lives because there was no life rope to reach out to, no church to go into and have prayer or pastor to counsel with. Don't tell me that it's all right to close the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and that it's all right somehow, some way for it to continue to be closed and there's no remedy for it and there's no answer for it. And we just simply need to look to the government and say, Mr. Government, how long before you're going to allow us to open our church doors? There's a problem with this today, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm here to tell you, I believe the problem is mainly as a result of the churches being closed. Here's an article that says, America, wake up to the essential nature of faith, to the essential nature of faith. On Friday, President Trump called on the governors to allow the churches to open right now after being closed down from COVID-19. Concerns are face-to-face, the Justice Department overriding the decision. He announced that new Centers for Disease Control guidelines will classify all churches and houses of worship as essential. This is a mandate from the President of the United States. It says most states are allowing churches and other centers of faith to reopen with strict social distancing precautions in place, but there are still holdouts like California. A group of federal attorneys who wrote letters to the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, warning him that prolonged church closures likely violate the free exercise clause of the First Amendment due to the fact that the similar non-religious businesses are receiving the green light to reopen in stage two. And it goes on to talk about the laws that they have instituted and implemented in the state of California and how the church is viewed as non-essential, how the churches are viewed as not being on the list of high priorities of opening back up. The article says, tragically, Newsom did not classify houses of worship even in stage two of reopening along with retail businesses, restaurants, malls. Instead, he classified churches among the high-risk business such as gyms and hair salons and personal care service. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem when governors and mayors consider the churches as being high risk, and yet all of these other places of business are all right to go into. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. About 1 minute for the news break, and we'll be right back as we continue with the question today, what is the church?
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.